who will politically orient black kids in the right direction, giving them the proper prompts that they needed so that they can respond properly to oppression. Yeah. All right? In 1967, when the riots happened, he saw that the self-esteem and the racial pride was fueling this. So he said, how do I bring that down so that they will not riot? And what he did, he flooded the airwaves with black exploitation movies. Charlie and the Return of Nigga. These were movies. Hip-hop didn't start calling people. We had Shaft. We had Coffee. Black girl turned prostitute to do whatever. You know what I mean? But these black exploitation movies brought down the self-esteem and the racial pride so that the kids will not rebel against the system of oppression. 92, the racial pride was back in effect. We had black kids going to Dr. Ben Yuckinen lectures. We were spending our money to go see Farrakhan speak as opposed to going to a strip club. This is where we were. The most coveted article of clothing was a historically black college or university sweater. We were motivating children towards positive attitudes and lifestyles. And when Rodney King got the beating, heads responded properly. Fast forward to our day. Sean Bell is shot 50 times in the street in New York by police officers. Number one song on the radio, Like a Lollipop. Nobody do nothing. Nobody respond to nothing. Trust me. Trust me. Just like the brother, I believe it was JT, the bigger figure, who said that the label executives came to him and said, yo, brother, we need you talking about guns and whores. Mm. Know what I mean?
That's right.
That happens. I've been in those meetings with management and had to ask me, is what you're saying really what you believe so that we'll know how to market you properly? You know what I mean? This happens. Young Buck on his album, he has a song on his album that talks about police terrorism. The label said, absolutely not. Jimmy Iovine said, absolutely not. You cannot put that record on the album because it might create an atmosphere that might put police officers' lives in danger.
Right.
So they took the record off, but they let him keep the other 14 songs on the album that talked about killing black youth. So this is what we're dealing with. We're not dealing with a circumstance or consequence of history. You know what I mean? The environment that we're embedded in puts us in a situation where we feel we have to maneuver and play the game and water our message down. You know what I mean? But no, what happened was they intentionally shifted the paradigm to get us exactly where we are right now. Right now, we're feeding the prison industrial complex right now. Our kids are going to prison because they're promoting these records. They're promoting these records daily that sent us to jail. Now, I mean, it's cool to go to jail. Now, I mean, they glorifying these things. And it's not the black youth. We're in a position where we get, like the brother said, the choice. You know, he said, yo, I chose the positive. So I didn't do it. But every youth is not going to take that route.
Right.
I know I come from the projects. Grew up in the projects all my life. You know what I mean? And we're not turning down $500,000 to say we're not going to do it because we won't turn down $200 to take a package of crack from one corner to the next. You know what I mean? We live in a state of poverty and want of all things. So it's hard for us to make that. Our judgment is clouded. And they knew that the judgment would be even more clouded if they took groups like X-Clan off the radio.
Mm-hmm.
This is just what it is. And until we start to deal with the environment that's shaping the behavior, we'll never get to the next level. We have to confront that.
Peace.
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 Wise words spoken from a wise man.
Indeed. Very wise, very wise.
That's why he's wise intelligence.
Uh-huh.
Right? He, you know. And obviously, no. Pardon self, it's not obvious. I think that a large percentage of people see the atrocities taking place, but are so desensitized to doing something about it.
Mm.
Right? So when he was talking about the beating of Rodney King, mm-hmm. and how people rose up and fought. Right.
Right.
Whereas that brother who got shot 50 times, nobody did anything. Right. He's talking about X-Clan and Public Enemy having number one songs on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. That's powerful, man.
That's very fight the power. That song is like, that's against, that's anti-establishment all the way. Right? And so we're in a time now, even in our own city, where people are dying because of, you know, fentanyl, and people walk over their bodies. That's real shit. You know what I'm saying?
Every day.
Every day. Like, it's nothing. It's normal. It's normality, right? You know? And so, as brothers for ourselves who have knowledge of self, you know, how important it is for us to teach, to reach the youth, to work with the youth, and do our part in this thing called hip hop, but also in this thing called life, as we know what our duty is. You know what I'm saying? That's how I see that. Go ahead, God.
Powerful, man. Not much to say. Just want to keep it brief. There's definitely a clear narrative switch. And I say to my people, stand up. And standing up means making a choice. What are we going to put in the air? What are we going to listen to while our children are in the house? Boom bap doesn't have to be negative. Hip hop doesn't have to be negative. Music is made. Well, you know, I didn't make music, so I won't say made. But music has very powerful healing properties and uplifting properties. Let's use it for its most powerful purpose. Peace to wise intelligence, peace to public enemy, you know, and honestly, anyone still bumping the golden era. And the seed is still alive.
That's because we're doing it now, right? This is the diamond era now. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
Right? And what is a diamond? A diamond is made of carbon, man. You know? A diamond is built under pressure, right?
Indeed.
So this is the diamond era, man. We bringing in the diamond era. All of my peoples on IG, man. We bringing in the diamond era of hip-hop, bro. You know? And it's really... Yeah, what you consume... A lot of will take over your mind, right? I know me personally, I listen to a mixture, right? I listen to both sides, because to have a supreme understanding, or to even deal in supreme equality, you got to have two supreme understandings, right? And really to be able to see, okay, here's the street rap. And for some of these brothers, it's very true. For some of them, they just push in the narrative. Right? And then you have the righteous music. Some of them is living it, and some of them is pushing the narrative.
Right.
Because I've seen other documentaries that talk about agencies sending in agents to cause rifts within governments. And they come like they're righteous, but they're still agents. So in order to see... Right? Things for what they truly are. One has to be able to know what's going on. Know that just because a nigga say he's righteous don't mean he's fucking righteous. And just because a nigga say he gangster doesn't mean he's gangster either. Right? We will see through the ways and actions. Peace.
Peace. Don't get caught up in that whirlwind, y'all.
Straight up. Who we got next on it?
Next up, we're going into the topic of the other side, the perspective from the other side of the fence, where there's a group of people wanting to change the narrative of hip hop, right? Around when they noticed that it was giving people the self-confidence and the pride, like wise intelligence was saying, so they can revolt against the system. So think about it. Who made that decision? And so the next piece of this documentary on Taylor House Publishing, on his account on YouTube, goes into a letter that was written from a person who
is anonymous,
said to be at the meeting that changed hip hop forever.
Let's go.
Music. Let's take it. Same people who own the labels own the prisons. So Literally the same people?
Literally the same people who own the labels on private prisons. So, you know, it seems really kind of suspicious, if you want to say that word, that, you know, the records that come out are really geared to push people towards that prison industry.
Yeah. Welcome back to your favorite podcast, Truth Talks. I am your host, Crazy Bone.
What's happening with it, man? I'm the bum, Keith G.
Now, a few of y'all might have already heard about this, about how the music industry has very close ties with the private prison system.
Yeah.
And the reason being is because the music business has invested millions of dollars in the private prison system.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You heard it correctly. Again, the music business and the entertainment business in general, meaning people who control the media, the music industry, and also
publication,
private prisons.
Yeah, magazines, all that.
Somebody sent me an article, like, I think it was like 6 or 7 years ago.
Right.
And I read this article, bro, and I was like absolutely shocked. Very shocked.
Talk to us. Talk to us.
In fact, I want to read this letter. I mean, this article, but it's actually a letter that was written by somebody that was a decision maker at a major label.
Shot caller.
And he said, you know, he was invited to a very special meeting about the future of hip hop back in 1991.
Okay.
And the title of the letter is The Secret Meeting That Changed Rap Music and Destroyed a Generation.
Damn.
So it says, hello. After more than 20 years, I finally decided to tell the world what I witnessed in 1991, which I believe was one of the biggest turning points in popular music and ultimately American society. I have struggled for a long time weighing the pros and cons of making my story public, as I was reluctant to implicate the individuals who were present that day. So I've simply decided to leave out the names and all the details that may risk my personal well-being and that of those who were, like me, dragged into something they weren't ready for. Between the late 80s and early 90s, I was what you may call a decision maker with one of the more established companies in the music industry. I came to Europe in the early 80s and quickly established myself in the business. The industry was different back then, since technology and media weren't accessible to people like that, like they are today. The industry had more control over the public and had the means to influence them any way it wanted.
Right.
This may explain why in early 1991, I was invited to attend a closed-door meeting with a small group of business insiders to discuss rap music's new direction.
Yeah.
Little did I know, we would be asked to participate in one of the most unethical and destructive business practices ever seen.
Christ.
So this was the meeting. The meeting was held at a private residence on the outskirts of Los Angeles. I remember about 25 to 30 people were being there,
right.
Most of them familiar faces. Speaking of those I knew, we joked about the theme of the meeting, as many of us did not care for rap and failed to see the purpose of being invited to a private meeting to discuss the future of hip-hop.
Talk to them.
Among the attendees was a small group of unfamiliar faces who stayed to themselves and made no attempt to socialize beyond their circle. Based on their behavior and formal appearances, they didn't seem to be from our industry. Our casual chatter was interrupted when we were asked to sign the confidentiality agreement preventing us from publicly discussing the information presented during the meeting. Needless to say, this intrigued, in some cases, disturbed many of us. The agreement was only a page long, but very clear on matters and consequences, which stated that violating the terms would result in job termination immediately. We asked several people what this meeting was about, and the reason for such secrecy, but could not find anyone who had the answers for us. A few people refused to sign and walked out. Nobody stopped them. I was tempted to follow, but curiosity got the best of me.
That's right.
A man who was part of the unfamiliar group collected all the agreements from us. Quickly after this meeting began, one of the industry colleagues, who shall remain nameless like everybody else, thanked us for attending. He then gave the floor to a man who only introduced himself by first name and gave no other details about his personal background. I think he was the owner of the residence, but that was never confirmed. He briefly praised all of us for the success we had achieved in our industries and congratulated us for being selected as part of this small group of decision makers. At this point, I began to feel slightly uncomfortable in the strangeness of this gathering. The subject quickly changed as the speaker went on to tell us that the respective companies we represented had invested in a very profitable industry, which could become even more rewarding with our active involvement.
Dang.
He explained that the companies we worked for had invested millions into the building of privately owned prisons, and that our positions of influence in the music industry would actually impact the profitability of these investments. Then he says, I remember many of us in the group immediately looking at each other in awe and confusion. At the same time, I didn't know what a private prison was, but I wasn't the only one. Sure enough, someone asked what these prisons were and what any of this had to do with music. We were told that these prisons were built by privately owned companies who received funding from the government based on the number of inmates.
Mm-hmm.
The more inmates, the more the government would pay these prisons.
Mm-hmm.
It was also made clear to us that since these prisons are privately owned, as they become publicly traded, we'd be able to buy shares. Most of us were taken back by this. Again, a couple of people asked what this had to do with us. At this point, my industry colleague, who had first opened the meeting, took the floor again and answered our questions. He told us that since our employees had become solid investors in this prison business, it was now in their interest to make sure that these prisons remain filled. Our job would be to help make this happen by making music which promote criminal behavior.
Damn.
Real talk, bro.
Yeah.
Real talk, man. And here's the thing, man. I remember hearing about this, like, I would say probably maybe a good 10 years ago about this meeting. And yeah, I could really see it happening too in my mind. Just seeing these people gather together and, you know, the all I'm seeing, it sees everything. And I can really see it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is very easy to imagine for me too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's because I know the amount of money there is in it. And I know that with money, you have a considerable amount of power in this world.
Indeed.
So anywhere there's money, there's people who want to control that.
Indeed.
And that's not conspiracy, and that's not spooky.
Nope.
That's a fact.
That's actual fact.
You know, cash rules everything around me.
Cream, get the money. Dollar bill, y'all. Yeah.
And I heard about RZA speaking on that recently, explaining the track as, it rules everything around me, but it doesn't rule me.
Indeed.
And you know, at the Boom Bap Syndicate here, we strive to live by these principles of staying on the right path.
For sure. You know, and when it comes to these prison pipelines, you know, especially in America, right? Or at least that side of the wilderness, you know, the educational system is created for the black child, both boy and girl, to fail, but also to become so irritated and frustrated and deal with the restraints that are placed and the confines that are placed on them, the chains that are placed on them through teachers, principals, that it repels them, right? It repels them. And so it repels them into the streets. It repels them and then propels them into the streets. And then they become gangsters, killers, dealers, prostitutes, junkies, drug addicts, right? And now they end up in the system, right? And now you're in the prison system. You know, a young boy just caught a body. He's doing 20 years. Had a bright future ahead of him. How many stories is that? Their homes are... Their home life could be terrible. Papa's in prison. Mama's on welfare.
Yes.
This is a story.
Yes.
Right? Not just only in black people. Like, I mean, there's in many different hoods across the world, right? And so you have something like hip hop that was so universally impactful, literally changed the lives of billions of people. Not millions, billions of people, right?
For sure.
And now you got these niggas who own prisons, right? And their goal is solely to lock black, brown up and yellow, right? Solely, right? Solely. And that's why the populations are still the highest, black and brown, in those, in the penal systems, in the penal, they're called colonies. That's what they are. They're colonies. You got to understand that, right?
Wow.
They're colonies. That's where, you know, Australia, right? When the Brits took over Australia from the original black people of that continent, right? They turned it into a penal colony, bro.
Right.
That's where they send all the worst fucking prisoners, the worst criminals,
right,
to that place, in which everything apparently there wants to kill you. You know what I'm saying? So,
the down under.
You know what I mean? And you've been to Australia, right? You know, so this is real deep here, bro. You know what I mean? Setting up this meeting, right? And being like, okay, we're gonna do this in order to control, because obviously we can see how much money we're gonna make off this.
Yeah.
Trillions and trillions and trillions, gazillions, sextillion numbers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
You must understand that they print money.
They print money, bro.
They can add as many zeros as they want to.
Come on, man.
They make the shit.
Come on, man.
Come on, y'all.
Come on, man.
And for my music makers out there, you know that's not what it's about. You know it's not what it's about.
And they try to tell you that there's no music and there's no money in music.
Come on.
That's a lie.
It's infinite.
That's a lie, bro. I know brothers that are getting guap right now, it's including us. Let's go, man. Boom Bap Syndicate, baby.
Yes, sir.
Let's get into some next
man,
tunes for the people.
What a good time, man.
Oh, yeah, man. Feeling.
To sound the alarms.
Let's go.
Because I think the police are coming.
Oh, y'all know this one, man. Oh,
man.
Run it.
It sound like they coming, man.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound of the beast. That's the sound of the police.
That's the sound of the beast.
Let's go.
That's the sound of the police. That's the sound. Cause we be and be upon their way.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the bees. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the police. Whoop, whoop. That's the sound of the bees. Check out the message in a rough style. The real criminal, honesty, or pink. You check for undercover anyone, DG. But just like me, a black man, they won't check me. They check out me, y'all, for it shine like the sun. But them jealous of them next guy, they can't afford wood. Black people still slaves up to today. But the black police officer, let's see it that way. He wants his salary, he wants it. So he put on a badge and kill people for it.
Slums in New York, to the gutters all over the world, this is for y'all. Through my travels, I try to take righteous steps, because right or left can mean life or death. No matter how trite it get, my sights are set, but it's twice the threat when the nights are deaf. My mental windows refuse to close, they get exposed to the neighborhood info, where the poison wind blows, a deadly plague spreading negativity. To every city being ghetto misery. Don't let it get to me, it right or be left to die. But it can mesmerize if it catch your eye. Shines enormous from jewelry, vehicles, and garments. But it's torment, jealousy, drug wars, and warrants. Tallying, slowly turning into barbarians. More scary when the whole boulevard's carrying. Living in the world of sin. My ghetto girls and men waiting for the world to end.
Trying to paint a perfect picture in exile.
Never moving backwards.
Complicated. Know what I mean? Trying to paint a perfect picture in Excel.
Never moving backwards.
Complicated. Know what I mean?
I see destruction. Even little kids trust none. They bust guns. That's what they get a rush from. When I see them, we build and have a real discussion. Yo, Rob, what's the jewel of the day? What up, son? You got ambition? Shorty said, man, listen. I got demands for living. Can't stand division. Making plans on my mission. To everything glisten. Women in the expedition. No plans for prison. And a vision to see me get through to my lineage. Sitting in my embassy. Sipping Hennessy. Getting high and watch life pass me by. So I asked him why with a fast reply. He said, I'm living just to die without any feeling. So I waited for my maker to.